But through your life you travel, and through your life you...
That was Woody Guthrie singing Pretty Boy Floyd, who, as I said earlier, was born on this day in 1904.
Is that considered bluegrass music?
Pardon? Just a second. We're on the air. What'd you say, Nick?
Bluegrass?
Yes, that was Woody Guthrie, one of America's great folk singers, singing the song. That's one of the reasons Pretty Boy Floyd became so famous, is because he became a hero in these songs. And Woody Guthrie was one of the people who did that. So let me introduce our guests. The man and woman you just heard are here with us in the studio. Nick Bosley is with us in the studio, representing District 7 in Baltimore City. Nick, good to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Welcome. Councilman Mary Pat Clark is in the studio, who represents, of course, District 14 and is chair of the Education Committee on our City Council.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Councilman Carl Stokes will be with us in just a moment. He'll be right here. He represents the 12th District and is chair of Taxation, Finance, and Economic Development. Good to have all three of you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook page. You can tweet me at Mark Steiner. I'll check as they come in and join us for your thoughts for our city council representatives. And what do you think about the issues facing the city? Of course, there's a lot to talk about. We can start with the audits and speed cameras, which would be a good place maybe to begin this conversation. There are many other things to talk about. I'm thinking little things, items that we saw in the press today, the other day, about the elimination of the Department of Housing and Community Development's Childhood Development Program.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm very involved in that. And there's a hearing coming up. I hope people will attend. It is on the 13th of February, City Hall, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The president of the city council, Jack Young, introduced this resolution and called for this hearing of my committee, Education and Youth. And basically, here's the problem. Four programs, child care programs, which are being proposed by the Budget Bureau for termination. We say no. Too many kids will be hurt by this. The idea is to transfer some of the money to expand Head Start, which we totally support Head Start. However, it's apples and oranges. And the four school programs are Waverly's School Age Child Care Center, Northwood's School Age Child Care Center, and then two little kid child care centers at Dunbar and Dukeland.
So, may I have a question? I want to be clear about what
it's a budget thing.
But are these are run by HCD for their employees or what?
No. Housing Department just happens to be the wonderful sponsor.
I see.
Of four child programs that have been very successful, and they are, in fact, the badges we're going to wear at the hearing for Waverly is, help keep Waverly working. These programs take care of kids. Now, at Waverly, those children go to Waverly School mainly. Their parents are working parents, a couple are going to get their degrees, okay? And it's a sliding fee scale. The center operates from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. You can get to work. You can drop your kids there. They'll walk them into the school classrooms. They'll pick them up at the classrooms and bring them on up. Operates all summer long, 6 to 6. And so you pay according to your income. And we've got like 40 children at Waverly. They're about that same number at Northwood School Age Child Care Centers. Tuition is paid. And vouchers go into it. And so that whole program at both schools costs $170,000 a year.
Out of the city budget.
Out of the city budget.
That's all.
The rest is tuition. Now, why are you closing that when you want people to work? I've got like a crossing guard. That's a wonderful job, but it doesn't pay much. But that person can get sliding fee scale, and her children are safe. So you want people to work. You want children to be safe. That does it. These other programs at Dukeland and Dunbar, they're younger children, but it's the same idea. With the parents being able to
work. They will
all be closed. June 30th. But the president of the council and I and my colleagues say, makes no sense. Makes no back to work sense. Makes no take care of children sense. Certainly makes no fiscal sense.
So what does it say to you about priorities of budgets and how we do things.
It's a mystery.
I mean, $170,000, why that would happen. We're talking about mostly
working. Now, that's class. For those two programs. Yeah. The other two programs have another budget figure that I don't yet know. And whatever it is, it's worth every penny.
Gentlemen,
plus tuition coming in.
That pays for
everywhere.
Most, right.
Yeah, I mean, and then on top of that, you have to talk about the jobs that are associated with the four centers, many of which are the employees are Baltimore City residents. So, I mean, when you look at the totality of the situation, we have a lot of questions, and I look forward to the hearing, and I'm glad that Council President Mary Pat Clark, jumped on this issue and are championing.
Man, I have no choice. I got a brand new school built at Waverly. Praise the Lord. It is beautiful. The children are all in it. And guess what? We designed in that school a special area for our Waverly School Age Child Care Center. Met specifications and paid money, state money, city money, in order to make sure they had the accommodations required by law. It is beautiful. Finally, a beautiful space. And now they're being told that on the 30th of June, everybody. Go find someplace else.
So,
it won't happen.
Councilman Stokes, you want to chime in at all on this?
Well, they said it all. It's fantastic. we could talk about the larger issues around the budget and the non-prioritization of children and parents, working parents, and the culture. When people talk about crime, they think it's all about policing and not about children and young people and the culture and people going to work. When people in this town talk about crime, they want to put millions and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars into policing, which is nowhere near the answer for what's going on in our town, the violence that are happening in our town. It's about another culture issue and about children. You know, we have some of the worst. We have a very bad Baltimore City public school system, and I know we're not supposed to go there.
Wait a minute. I have three grandchildren there, and they're sitting there right now.
And I have a daughter in as well.
Okay, anybody who comes to Baltimore right now, who walks in this town right now, within 24 hours, could tell you the 10 to 20 schools that work in this city. They could tell you. Anybody who walks into this city right now from any place can tell you within 24 hours the 20 schools in this town that work. And everybody can tell you the rest of the schools that don't work for children in this town. Let me just say that right now, 7 out of every 10 black males who enter the kindergarten in Baltimore City public schools do not graduate.
Wait, stop.
I know. I'm stopping.
Say it again.
I get off. Seven out of every 10 black males who enter the kindergarten in Baltimore City public schools do not graduate.
Well, where does that number come from? I'm not challenging because I don't know. Where does that number come from?
It comes from the Baltimore City Public Schools. Have you visited a high school in Baltimore City?
Not in a while, but I have been, yes.
Right. So go to a place like Dunbar with 800 students and 100 boys. Go to Pauley and City, which used to be all male schools. Now are about 80% female schools, which is fine, which is great for the ladies that go there. But men, boys, black males particularly, are no longer in our high schools.
Necessarily correlate the number difference between kindergarten students and
high school students. It's 50-50 in kindergarten. The number of boys and girls in kindergarten are 50-50.
All right.
Yeah, we can correlate it. The number of black males who are disappearing between kindergarten and 12th grade is amazing. Amazing.
I've never seen this statistic.
I haven't either, but I think this is a good time to bring something up. Remember a couple months ago when the wonderful director of city social services made the headlines by sending some of her older foster care children up to Pennsylvania to take a test and get a high school certificate?
Right.
Well, my reaction to that was, shame on us, that we have not developed the kinds of educational opportunities like that are appropriate for older teens like those foster children were right here in Baltimore. There's GED is a national program, and they have worked with the city of Baltimore, and they in the state are governed by the State Department of Licensing and regulation, who is very, you know, works with us. But where is the, are the tutorials and the access so that our children can take that path and other alternative effective paths?
So let me ask this question. This, I was not going to go to education today, but you all brought it up.
We live education.
Let me get, you to put that mic up a little bit. There. Sorry. There you go. So we can get your, both your voices much more, a little more clarity. Thank you. And folks, I want you to join us here, 410-319-8888. You heard what the council persons have said about education and the child care. We're about to talk about the issue of speed cameras and audits. We want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888. These are the people you elect if you're living in Baltimore City. These are the people that take care of the city if you work here and don't live here. Whatever. 410-319-8888. Join us as we talk to our city council members. But so here we are in the midst of looking for whoever's going to be the next CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools, whether it's the interim director now or whether it's somebody else. We're looking for somebody to take over. So, and there was a great celebration on some level, on some corners, and consternation on other corners when Dr. Andres Alonso was head of the school system and the changes he instituted. So, and when you say that our schools are a shambles, you know, I think about...
That wasn't my word.
What would you say?
I said this Baltimore City has a very poor public school system.
Poor public school system. But you, and you said you can name the 20 schools that aren't in that state. And I think we could name a lot of them off the top of our heads right now.
Right.
Where most of our children might go.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the other point.
Where
right.
we've went.
Right.
Right.
Well,
right.
Let me say this. Right. I always think of this. Everyone hates Congress, but almost everyone loves their congressperson.
Right.
There are problems with the school system, but we love the schools where our kids go.
And I think you can't discredit the fact that we have seen significant progress over the past couple of years, and specifically around high school graduation rates in the city of Baltimore and African-American male graduates in the city of Baltimore. I have a school in my district, Frederick Douglass. The state wanted to come in and close it down because it was such a horrible school. Forget all the history. Forget Thurgood Marshall and the Mitchells and the Quayeses and all the folks that have gone there and have all this history behind this school. The alumni came and stepped up. HBO did this documentary to show how bad Baltimore City Public Schools are, you know, how these kids in West Baltimore were acting. But now you look at it, you have a strong leader in Dr. Hurd over there. Last year they graduated over 200 students, which is the first time in several years. The high school team was competing for the state finals. There's nothing but school spirit when you walk into that school. In my neighborhood, I see children with their Frederick Douglass t-shirts on. So I think there's been a lot of gain in this current school system.
Right.
Are we where we should be? No. But are we on a path or at least progressing? In some areas, I would say yes.
Okay. I don't think we have gained. So if you look at the numbers over the last 5 years, 10 years, no, we have not. The numbers are the same when Alonso showed up as where they are now. There was a bump up that really can be credited to the previous CEO. We can go on about this, but let's just look at the real numbers. 1 out of 20 high school graduates of Baltimore's public schools are actually graduating from college. 1 out of 20 high school graduates are graduating. I can make numbers for you. Yeah. I can...
Like the 70%.
I can boil numbers for you, but where are these young people?
Yeah.
Where are they when they come out of our schools? How prepared are they? And why are we holding children in school who can get a high school diploma right now, foster care children were from Molly McGrath's shop? They were ready to move on.
But they had to be exported opportunity.
Carl, I'm in more agreement than you know. The one thing I wanted to say was, you know, when we say that we have a very poor school system, I think we also have to look at some of the things that we've seen progress on that we want to continue to build upon.
Okay. Five children in my house. If half a child gets through, I'm happy about that? No, I'm not. It is not progress that moves the greater majority.
So are you saying that the dropout rate has not increased?
It has not decreased, you mean?
Decreased.
No, it's increased. I mean, it has not decreased.
I'm with you.
Are you saying it hasn't decreased?
I'm not saying that at all.
So that's one key indicator to at least, I mean, when Councilwoman Mary Pat Cox talked about sending some of Baltimore City's children to Pennsylvania, that's one area that anybody in the educational field would say.
So let me ask a question here.
Shame on us.
Folks, let me jump in and ask a question so you want to talk about education for a minute before we go to break. I want to note a couple of things. I mean, when Tisha Edwards was on here last, she was upset about the low rates of numbers of graduates going to college. She was upset about what's happening to, the, even though the graduation rate is up, the preparedness or lack of preparedness
Correct.
Of our kids who do graduate, who end up in remedial classes, when they do go to Coppin or Morgan or community colleges, places that care about kids like and bring them in, but they have to go to remedial classes. So she's aware of that. She talks about that in her conversations with me on the air. So, and but as city council members, other than being angry about it, what do you do about it?
Well, we in the city council have participated.
Or can you do anything about it?
Of course we can. Of course we can. The reason I'm so hot about this exporting of our children for opportunity is that we spent a lot of time in this Baltimore City Council in the Education and Youth Committee working with the state agencies, education, licensing, the Baltimore City Public Schools, etc., saying, all right, the state is mandating that you have to stay in school till 18 years old. That kicks in a year and a half. And you got to either be there or you got to have a graduation certificate. So what are we doing about our older children that have jobs to help their family, that have children, et cetera? What are we doing? What are we doing? Bring all these people together. And I'm talking right now about the older children. And so, come on, let's fast track our own children here in Baltimore City and save a bus trip to Pennsylvania.
We have to take a break, but I guess my question was a larger question about what can city council do really about our school system?
Well, that's what we can do. We have begun to work with the different agencies to give us some alternatives. Secondly, can we do?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away, Mary Pat. We'll let you finish that when we come back. We have to hit the speed camera questions. We have an email coming in from Jeff, 410-319-8888. We're going to break with Gangster of Love by Johnny Guitar Watson. Stay with us. Tony Williams, drum solo. He died on this day in 1997, one of our great drummers. We heard his music during the break, as we do all the great artists who passed away on this day or were born on this day or made a special record on this day. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. We have a bunch of emails coming in I want to read. Meredith tweeted in, and I got to find the tweet she just sent. But what she said to us here was that she thinks that this thing with the speed cameras is a fraud, and that our citizens should get their money back. And this is what is happening here with this. It's not you want it in your committee, but it's not in your committee, right, Carl?
Well, it's not yet. We'll see after tomorrow. Yes, but so I think that what we have on the speed cameras. So I'll try to tone it down. Is a situation where many people have seen that there's great error. Over 10% of a sampling on one day of a third of the counters were issuing erroneous tickets. Another 26%, 10% definitely erroneous, another 26% questionable, whatever questionable means.
Well, we can't know unless we know what the audit says.
Right. And, well, and of course, it wasn't released. And by the way, when it was leaked out, it now is not an audit. And by the way, if it is an audit, the people who did the audit weren't qualified to do the audit, even though we paid them $250,000+. So this is a bit of a mess. I don't know if anyone saw the Cal cartoon yesterday, but it was pretty funny.
Yes.
The mayor didn't think it was that funny, I'm sure. Having said that, this is really not about the mayor doing something wrong or anyone else, except that the citizens know for sure that the speed cameras were erroneous to such a large degree.
Well, wait a minute. This is what Meredith wrote. I just saw the tweet. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. The speed camera issue seems like fraud/ victims should get their money back. Those who committed the fraud should face fines and jail.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as the last thing, but I certainly believe that
why
all of the cameras should be rebated.
People should get their money back. Amen.
Yes, there should be a refund.
Well, do we even know today why the city had to pay them $8 million? If the thing was, what was that money for?
Yeah, we paid both vendors for performing poorly to get out of the contracts that we had. So the bigger question for me in some ways, who writes these contracts? Who approves these contracts that allow...
Well, who does?
I don't know. That's part of what we're going to have a hearing about soon, I hope.
Does anybody know?
Well...
I don't know.
As
one member of the council.
They didn't come from nowhere. Here's how I feel about this whole speed camera thing in terms of fingers pointing this way and that. Let's depersonalize just for a minute.
Absolutely,
and talk about
depersonalize
it because
it.
The mayor stopped the operation of cameras when it was revealed that they're not working, etc. All right. Let's just put that aside and let's just talk about the issue to me is I got a lot of people. Oh, man, do we have a lot of people in our district? OPS, I'm one of them. Once.
All of us.
Me too.
That, yeah, who hasn't paid one of these things?
We're seven.
That have paid. I don't.
I've paid more than one.
One.
Oh,
right.
Well,
six.
I'm
here.
One. But.
You paid
but
six.
One, but one was a lot to me because, yeah. I mean, because. I can't imagine it, but I paid it. But people deserve to be compensated for the money they paid into this system. That's what I want to see out of this. And then I would like to see us stop and invest, as I've always said, in if you want to stop speeding, it's people to people. Right. You got to use human beings out there talking to people and directing traffic and writing tickets, really.
Yeah.
Nick, what are you going to say?
Yeah. See, the problem when you talk about public perception is the fact of, you know, as council members, I'm pretty sure we receive outcry when we go to community association meeting or folks faxing in or emailing in their particular speed light camera tickets, right? And, you know, we're talking with DOT about it. And then there's this audit that's going on that no one knows about. It comes to surface. And, you know, when you talk about the importance of trying to gain the trust back from the public as it relates to City Hall, us as council members, it's critically important that we stay transparent. And I think that this was a huge gaffe as it relates to city government that further exacerbates the distrust that folks sometimes see with City Hall. You know, at the end of the day, if we're able to be transparent and we jump out on the issue and we let folks know what's going on, that's always the right approach, no matter how tough it is of getting over that particular issue. But in this case, that wasn't done. And, you know, now it's coming to the forefront. I think it's great that we'll have the details, we'll know the details, and the citizens will know that at the end of the day, folks are fighting for transparency.
Well, we hope we'll know the details. Thanks, Nick. That was on point.
Was that you, Carl?
But we know, by the way, I'm your elder. I'm Councilman Stokes.
I'm sorry.
To you.
I'm sorry. Councilman Carl Stokes.
Let's focus back in here.
We're teasing. You know we're teasing.
I know that.
Stop, Mary.
So, go ahead, Carl.
So I just feel
but
that
let
I'm
me
the
just,
mother here.
I know. I almost lost my point. But there are a couple larger points here. People are not just frustrated here. You know, the water bills are still a major problem in my office. People still call in because they get water bills at four or five times what they normally should be. The water department has told us for the last 3 years they are on the way to fixing this, and it's not fixed yet. The historic tax credits, too much, too little. So people are more than just frustrated. They rightfully have some anger over the fact that the city keeps fumbling on these matters and are not the most transparent about why these keep happening. And so this latest deal where, frankly, the administration said, we're going to shut it down because the error rate is 0.25%. 0.25%. When they had in their hands an audit, a review, a sampling that said it was at least 10%.
So I hear what you just said, Carl. And so the question is, you said, I mean, I'm not putting this at the mayor's doorstep necessarily completely, but
let's
I'm,
not. Let's
but
just
wait, wait,
talk
wait, wait,
about
wait, wait, wait,
what
sure.
we need.
But. What Carl just said is reality, and we know it's reality, then it has to go to somebody's doorstep. I mean, someone has to take responsibility
right now,
for the money.
Ours, that, thanks to our colleague, Councilman Stokes.
That $2.8 million left the city budget to pay companies that didn't do an effective job, that people got perhaps cheated out of lots of money, maybe another $2 million or more out of the parking speeding tickets they didn't really do.
Right.
And doesn't this also go to the issue of why the council couldn't come together to figure out how to create an audit system for the city that might be transparent, that could tell us where our money is going?
Right.
It goes directly to it. The one thing that I would highlight about this is it shows the importance of performance audits. I know that we had this debate over and over again, specifically on your show, Mark, but when you look at financial audits versus performance audits, you know, a financial audit of DOT wouldn't necessarily brought out these details. However, a performance audit on the Speedlight camera program could have. And I think that we have to develop a way that, one, we have red flags in place that are raised to say, okay, at the end of the day, we should be looking at performance audits in this particular task, in this particular department or agency. And I think that this is one, and I think for a long time we've kind of known about these issues, like I said, because when I'm out in my community talking to constituents at community meetings or even receiving phone calls, you know, folks have always talked about this particular issue. And I think that it should drive to a fact where we have a scheduled audit system of performance audits in the city of Baltimore.
And all politics aside, why shouldn't that be the controller's office rather than spending all this extra money and doing it from somebody on the outside?
We need audits, period, financial and performance. That's what the original bill said. But let's not go off track here. The speed cameras, the red light cameras are a scam. We're a scam. And they really, everybody should get their money back, even if there was, quote unquote, a legitimate ticket, because the error rate and the beyond the perception, it's not perception, it really happened that these cameras were scamming. They were inaccurate. I don't even know if they were inaccurate in terms of calibration or whether someone intentionally just started stealing money from citizens. It is impossible for people to go buy one particular camera time after time, week after week, and get caught, because the human mind says, I know that camera's there. I'm going to slow down to the speed limit or below the speed limit. Something else is going on here. I think there is a possibility of criminal action. I didn't want to go there, but certainly people have made statements when they had in their hands the truth. That's a cover-up. That's a cover-up.
So is this not a cover-up on some – could not be possibly be a cover-up on some levels in some part of our city government? How far up it goes, I don't know.
Let me be
– But why – because why wouldn't you tell us – why did it have to be found out by somebody else?
What? I would like to think that the people that ran – that developed and set up these cameras had the skill – to manipulate. My view of it, and I'm not going to debate it. What do I know? My view of it is the darn things didn't work.
But if somebody in that office
knew.
It was
incompetence on the part of the vendors.
But I do want to ask a question on the subject, but I just really want to get to this. And citizens, I want to hear what you think of 410-319-8888.
Like, I mean, our constituents, we don't know the answer.
But that's why.
But we are bound to find out.
We hope we're about to find out. I am concerned about a whitewash in the city council, let alone beyond that. I am concerned about a whitewash. I am concerned that certain parties in the city council will take this this investigation and bury the real facts. I am concerned about it. I will say it. I have said it. I will stand up again tomorrow and say it. I am concerned that they're trying to bury this.
I mean, the one last thing. I mean, it seems to me that somebody, if somebody in the city government makes a statement that was untrue when an audit said something else was true, somebody inside some levels of government knew what was going on, knew what the audit really said, and didn't come, weren't honest with the people of Baltimore, and kept us in the dark about all of that. And now we have all this money we owe to the two vendors who did a lousy job to start with, and our citizens are being bilked out of millions, maybe millions.
Well, the money we owe is to are the people that got the tickets.
No, I know, I understand that, but I'm saying
we should make them the priority.
Well, I don't know. I think they're all priority because
I know. I just want to say that. Because that's where I'm coming from. And let me say something else. Carl's the lead on all this and in so many other issues, and thanks to him. But at this particular moment in history, I think it's very important for us in the city council to close ranks and stand together to get to this, to get for our citizens what they deserve. So I hear what you're saying, Carl, but I really don't think it's the way to begin a discussion in the city council in which people are depending on us. I hope you're wrong about what you've just said about the council, but we need to come together and be straight with each other.
I know better. I sat there last Monday night. But I know better. I know it's tough to say people are liars. It's tough to say people are corrupt. And I know you hate the sound of it. I know you do. And I'm sick of corrupt, lying sons of guns doing this to the citizens of this city. I'm sick of neighborhoods that I represent, that you represent, that Nick represents, getting ripped off, yes, I almost said the word, getting screwed around by people who don't care and who, I know it's tough to say somebody lied when they may be sitting next to you on the city council floor. I understand that, but that's how we all go down. That's how you lose a nation, a city, a state. And so, I know I'm being dramatic, but damn it, people are sick of this nonsense.
Nick, do you have anything to say before we move on?
I totally agree with, Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I do believe in a process. I think that, you know, outside of just the independent body of the city council, we know that the Sun, who unveiled this, they entered an information act request. They have tons and tons of emails, tons and tons of documentation. And I think that, you know, in due time, we'll find out if folks lied, if there was fraudulent activity, if there's activity that's pointing back to the actual vendors and providers of these systems. I just think that we have to allow the process. I mean, when we looked at it last week, it seemed unanimous that the councilman was completely correct, and he completely got co-sponsorship throughout the entire council. And, you know, like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, you would be a fool not to continue to dig at this and not to continue to ensure that the citizens are provided with all the information in this era of folks not trusting of the government. Transparency is key, and we have to drive towards that transparency, and that's what this process should do.
Well, let me just say one thing. A majority of us in the city council on Monday last supported Carl Stokes' resolution. The problem was, that's 8 out of 15. We did.
And I supported it.
And of course you did, and so did I. But there was a parliamentary thing where, in order to immediately approve his resolution on the night it's introduced, you need 12 votes, supermajority. It's part of our rules. Because usually you like things to sit and people have a chance to look at them before vote. So you needed 12 votes, and they weren't there. Now, at this point in our history, this city council, well, let's fight it out then and get it straight. We have to be a place where people can come, where they expect to get transparency and a response. We're not perfect, but we should not be liars. We should not tell people untruths. And if that's happening, go talk to those people. But let's get ourselves straight with each other on behalf of our constituents.
So I just got a tweet. Stop saying the mayor is not responsible. We don't know until we review the facts. It's not personal. Because we say council member, because we say mayor, that's not personal. What are we avoiding? Let's lay it out bare. Let's do the truth. We don't know what the facts are. We can't defend. We just need to look at the truth. That's all we need to do. That's what people – I go to – like Mary Pat, like Nick Bosby, I go to barbershops, hair salons, AMP, which I know is long gone, but I didn't want to say any of the others.
Last time you were there, right?
Right. But churches, synagogues,
like
temples.
Bush.
We go to these places, and they're black, they're white, they're Latino. Everyone, you know, people are just grabbing me. I can't eat breakfast in the morning without someone coming over to the table and said, talking about what's going on with this cameras. Anyway, and not just the cameras. It's just a lack of transparency in city government.
So let me ask this question. People are tweeting each other all over about this conversation we're having on the air, but you can also call the 410-388-88. There's another bill that kind of was brought up, and it actually reminds me of another bill that didn't pass. And I'm curious why you think this, and maybe I'm showing my thoughts, my view on this, but whether it's plastic bags or styrofoam ware for food that we know pollutes the bay and causes all kinds of damage, why the city council has such a difficult time standing up and saying these things, we don't need these things in our city.
Well, it was a close call with bags. And basically, I believe there's enough commitment in the Baltimore City Council. You know, Councilman Brandon Scott introduced the legislation, did a lot of work on it for it was originally 25 cents, but he really immediately brought it down to 10 per bag. The idea is, hey, if people have to pay, then they'll go out and get a bag that, like, it's a great year to get free cloth bags and all because it's a campaign year for the state. And so that bill got amended to dedicate all the funds that came in, except the part that went back to the merchants to run it, to Rec and Parks. So basically it got a good hearing, it got a lot of amendments, it was heard. And then it was lobbied against inside the council and lost. And so I believe very sincerely that it will rise again lower.
Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was going to say, and I think that eventually in the near future, it will come back and it will pass. I think the original bill, like Councilwoman said, had, you know, the 25 cents in, it had bags in it, and also had, like, criminal
penalties
in it. So I think that, you know, depending on what council member voted against it, you know, had certain issues with certain things. I think when it comes back out again, it's going to be a little cleaner, and, you know, Councilman Scott will be able to get his bill passed.
Yes.
But we also know that there are – I'm sorry, you hadn't finished.
I was going to talk about the polystyrene. You know, regarding that, you know, we would have been the first major city in the country to do it. Unfortunately, New York City beat us to the punch. I look forward to that coming back up. I'm a co-sponsor of that. I mean, talk about building sustainable Baltimore City, we have to critically talk about, you know, the importance of our environment and the environment that we leave to our children. So I think the more and more we talk about these issues in the council, the easier there will be to get them passed. Well, and I look forward to that, getting that passed as well.
Well, how much role is how much of a role did the high-powered lobbyists who came out of former administrations who represent the chemical industry play in all this? They clearly were lobbying council members to vote against this.
So I've always had a huge environmental focus when I came in, so they don't really come to me. But I will say, for the plastic bag tax, they didn't come in until the last minute. They came in at the 11th hour. They did the commercials. They were calling out constituents. They really didn't do a great job of organizing. And like I said, I think next go around, it will pass.
I think in some ways it turned into another tax on people as opposed to being an environmental issue. I think putting a fee on paper bags hurt, at least from where I was, hurt this particular. I don't think that we should have a fee on paper at all. I think it defeats the purpose of discouraging people from using the
styrofoam
plastic.
Or plastic,
and styrofoam also. I think it has to be more comprehensive and not put a couple of different bills, but put one in there. I think it will come back. I agree with my colleagues on that. I mean, D.C., I saw D.C. 2 years ago and reduced, you know, the use of plastic bags. In California, it's no big deal. You just go in and they don't give you plastic at all unless you absolutely ask for it and absolutely pay for it. So it's a natural order of things.
Yeah, in the larger picture from an environmental perspective, folks feel like, you know, to produce the paper bags, you use even more dirty energy in the generation of it and the manufacturing of it. So from an environmentalist perspective, that's where it is. But I do agree. I think the bill should just come in with plastic bags. I think that's a huge step forward in the right direction in the city council.
Okay, but still dedicated to Rec and Parks.
Oh, definitely.
So basically everybody just had 2 minutes of hearing the kind of discussions that go on and sometimes why bills, you know, go down and then come back, and that's how it gets done.
Shirley just called in and asked, what is the city's procurement policy with regard to contracts?
Board of Estimates.
That's Board of Estimates, right?
I was just going to say, well, yes, but the settlements that were paid out did not come to the Board of Estimates. The settlements that were paid out to the two vendors who performed poorly on the speed cameras did not come to the Board of Estimates. They were paid out.
And they should have. I mean, basically, the Board of Estimates is the—
They should have what?
They should have come to the public forum of the Board of Estimates. I chaired that board for 8 years when I was honored to be president of the city council.
That's right.
And so I'm kind of familiar. And certainly in my day and Mayor Schmoke's, whether he liked it or not or whatever, it would have been there. And certainly the members of the Board of Estimates would have known about it. And if it had been recommended to not be— it wouldn't have been. So basically, the Board of Estimates is composed of three citywide elected officials and two agency heads, and they are the Board of they are the board of the City of Baltimore, the executive board of the large corporation. And so our business should be known because it's the people of this city and state who are paying the bills, and it's all about transparency. And I'm not— that's just not a cute word. It's the law.
We had one person tweeted in here. I don't know what he means by this, but I'd like him to write at me and tell me what he means with this. Andrew tweeted in saying, "Open primaries, a tip for the people, i.e., radical property tax reform. How can we fix infrastructure?" That's a lot there, but I'm not quite sure what.
But I think
open primaries. I guess what he's asking about is everybody can vote for, and in like whatever you are, you can vote for the Democrats.
Right.
That's a good way to say it.
That's exactly what it is.
That's why I love
Thank
the city
Thank
council.
You, Nick. Thank you, Nick.
I love that's the city council because they finish my sentences.
I ask Andrew, write me in more about what you're talking about, and we can bring some of these up at another show because I'd like to hear about it. Jeff wrote in, I think he's also proposing a program on this, which we'll do. 52,523 Baltimore households need subsidized housing. So if you extrapolate—
Amen.
So that's like we're talking about maybe 200,000 of our citizens, between 150 and 200,000 of our citizens.
And I have a bill in city council right now that says that you can't discriminate based on source of income, i.e. based on vouchers.
Right.
I think what our citizens need are jobs that pay living wages.
Amen.
Subsidized housing is about jobs more than it's about housing. Folks can't afford the rent. They can't afford the mortgage. We need jobs in this town for people. We need an education system that gives them the skill set to be able to get their qualifications.
And there's a
up.
Rally this morning at 11 a.m. At St. Vincent de Paul Church. That's that big white church
at
President and Fayette.
Right.
And it's a great choice because it's a place that welcomes people of all income levels and ages and whatever. And so 11 o'clock to noon rally on the 10-10 minimum wage bill that the state has. And if we don't get that, Carl Stokes, Mary Pat Clark, Nick Mosby, we're bringing in the meantime— living wage for Baltimore City.
Right. We will.
And this time, it will pass. If the state can't do it for us.
Mm-hmm. And as a possibility, it might not pass in the House of Delegates.
Well, and that's...
It might not get out of committee because the chairman of that committee doesn't agree with it.
And we'll be standing by, and this time we just got to do it.
Right.
It will be more than 10-10 if it's the city because living wage right now is about $11 at least.
Well, I think living wage right now should be like $17 right now because that's
I
what
do
it takes
too,
to survive.
But,
like this. That should be.
I'd settle for 15 just to get it passed.
Okay, I'll go with 15. Jeff also wrote in here, the Baltimore taxpayers are on the hook for potentially, it's quoting from the Brew, millions of dollars of cost related to the new Central Avenue bridge linking upscale Harbor Point to Harbor East. The city has agreed to pay for any additional bridge costs not covered by the TIF, tax increment bonds, issued by public infrastructure at the waterfront site, documents reviewed by the bridge showed. These costs, which have associated as the estimated one of the bridge has risen, could amount to as much as $3.4 million. In a memorandum of understanding approved by the Board of Estimates on January the 8th, DOT Director William Johnson agreed that the city will pay all eligible costs in excess of $6.6 million in TIF bonds allocated for the project. And in private placement memorandum signed by the mayor, the city agrees to assume, quote, all costs in excess of the budgeted costs, including the cost of applicable change orders and supplements, end quote. On that note, we have to take a break. We're going to go out with Peggy Sue by Buddy Holly because he died on this day.
Oh, Peggy Sue.
Great old song. So you two have to leave, though, don't you? You have a.
I have to go.
And I know you have to
you.
Go get your daughter.
Yes.
Good father, man. Good father.
I can debate with myself.
Well, let's talk about it. Can you stay for a few more minutes?
He's probably capable of it.
I want to thank the city council members for being here. Carl,
thank you so much.
If you can stay for a few minutes. We'll comment on this for a moment and see what we think with that. Peggy Sue, Buddy Holly, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Who was that? The Big Bopper, Chantilly Lace. And he, of course, lost his life on this day in 1959. The same crash took many of the early rock and rollers in this country. But the songs live on after them. The two council people had to leave. They both had important things to do. Both they really did, Mary Pat Clark and Nick Mosby. Carl Starks has important things to do, too, but he's staying for another 5 or 10 minutes to continue this before we jump into our conversation about Veolia and the workers in that transportation group. So I read the piece from Jeff Singer, that email he sent me, and this is actually probably an email that had more to do with a program he wants, or continuing dialogue about housing. But it just seems things are just upside down. I mean, in terms of really understanding how much money the city has to spend and where it's spending it and how it could be spent so it's maybe centered on lifting up people from the bottom with jobs and work,
right,
at the same time as you're attracting in people of means to the city, which any city needs. You know, they're not contradictory.
No, they're not. There just has to be a balance struck. And that's what many people are asking or wondering. For example, I think, and many people think, that what we did at Harbor East and now Harbor Point, at least Harbor East, much of it was money well spent. Because it has shown growth. At the same time, three blocks away at Perkins Homes or at the City Springs Elementary School, they don't have aftercare programs or fields that they need for young people or job training for people who are living in public housing. And so there's not a balance struck. And we have, for example, this enterprise zone, which is supposed to help draw funding to certain parts in certain communities so that the whole community gets lifted up. That didn't happen, for example, to go backwards in terms of the Harbor Point deal. And now, as a writer sent in to you, it says that we're going to spend even more money for things that are not covered under the TIF program. So people are very much not only wanting to have this conversation, they are having the conversation out on the streets. But it seems that government is not working for them or listening to them in trying to strike a balance between what should happen for kids and people struggling to make ends meet.
We had another tweet, by the way. Just read this real fast. Damon Millard writes in, recognizing success of Frederick Douglass High at Common Schools in partnership. And I will just say Frederick Douglass has come up a long way. And
it has. Douglass is doing great with Dr. Hurt.
Their program in terms of modern technology, and it's amazing what the kids are doing at Douglass. So I want to applaud them and that school.
It has come a long way, and it's great. And they have a great leader there. So often in life, leadership is everything. And certainly Douglas at some of the schools in our town have great leaders, but we don't yet have something that's institutionalized across city schools. But this is great what is going on at Douglas.
So, Carl, in closing out what we were talking about earlier, I mean, what do you think is going to happen with this whole question we're talking about the cameras? We don't know whether it's going to be in your committee. That's right. Up for vote, right?
Right, it is up for vote. We asked for it to be in our committee. As
opposed to whose committee?
Legislative investigations.
Which is
Councilman Kraft.
Kraft.
First
District.
And, you know, it could be a joint committee. I would prefer it in my committee, not because I'm the chairperson, but because I said it already. It bothers people. I don't want this to be whitewashed in any way. I'm not going after anybody or anything but what the truth is, what the facts are. And I think that we have to lay this bare, and political considerations aside. The citizens in this town, whether it's in the barbershop, beauty salon, church, synagogue, temple, are all asking, where is the transparency in city government? It's not just this matter, Mark. It is the water bills that were made up, estimated, guesstimated, sometimes outright just done in a crooked manner. Some people are out on the golf course and they send in a meter that they never bothered to.
I mean, is that true?
Yes, it is true. It's documented. That is documented that two or three meter readers were sending in false meter readings on a daily basis.
And what happens to them?
They're fired.
And what else happens to them?
I don't think any jail happened to them, but this happened. This is real. The Sun paper documented that.
I do remember
this.
I'm sorry.
Goodness, right. Yeah. Frankly, for the media, Mark. Thank goodness for you,
the Sun. Right. City paper, they do good work.
Right.
Get it out there.
They're
right.
Great work. But Jane Miller, I got to throw
Jane Miller
name
as well?
In there,
absolutely.
Too.
Yep.
But why? Why do we have to wait for the media to tell us what's going on untoward in city government? It's unfair. And I don't think that, frankly, we've done a great investigative work on following up on what we get from, unfortunately, we're getting it from the media. And so I am concerned that in the matter of these speed and red light cameras, that the council won't do as thorough an investigation as is necessary to get to the bottom of all of this.
When will we know where it sits in terms of what committee is it?
The next hearing is tomorrow at 11 a.m. on this matter. It will be in judicial investigations tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. To determine whether it comes back into the Tax Finance Committee or it disappears or it goes to some other committee. That we'll vote on that tomorrow morning at 11.
Carl Sox, I appreciate you staying a little longer here.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate being here. I know I get riled up at times.
That's all right, man.
That's because you stick needles in me. But I do. I have great colleagues in the city council. I hope I didn't impugn anyone there. And certainly we are working together as much as we can. But the citizens expect us to be over the top at times, and so we should be.
So before you go, is that a caller coming? Should we get this? You mind taking one call before we
go?
No,
of course I don't.
Let's do that at 410-319-8888 to hear what you have to say to us here on air. These are important subjects. Alexis, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Councilman Stokes.
Good morning, Alexis.
I just want to say I've been listening to the conversation, and one of the things that I will say, I understand, Councilman Stokes, your disappointment that government hasn't been as transparent as you would like for it to be or as it should be. But one thing I will say is thank goodness for the press, that so often we see that our press is negligent in what it reports and how it reports, and thank goodness to our Baltimore press for doing the investigation, for digging, for asking the questions, and bringing information to light to continue the process. So just wanted to throw that out there and just ask for your reflection on that.
Thank you so much, Alexis.
I agree with you. I think we just had a couple of minutes on that same matter, Alexis. Mark and I just went over how grateful we are to the Baltimore press, who have really done a great job, who get stonewalled often unfortunately, but they have done a great job of bringing to light so many of these issues. And again, the next phase is for the council at this particular phase to get down into the weeds, so to speak.
And before we move on to our Veolia conversation, Veolia transportation conversation, let's take one more call in, and then we'll let Councilman Sosa get on to his day and work.
Sure.
410-319-8888. Leo, you're on the air.
Yes, Mark Steiner.
Welcome, Leo.
And Carl Stokes. How you guys doing this?
Hi, Leo. Good morning, sir.
Yeah. I am impugning the integrity of members of the council, Brother Steiner. I was at the meeting on Monday a week ago of the city council when this issue about speed camera gate came up, and the council divided Mark along racial lines. The only white person who supported Carl Stokes, and thank God for her, was Mary Pat Clark. The rest of them, I'm talking about Councilman Kraft, who I don't trust. He's the Judiciary Committee chair, and this lady who's been in council too long, Rochelle Ricky Spector, 37 years too long. She was busy working the tables during the debate, ensuring that to try to block Carl Stokes' effort. And I'm watching all of this maneuvering so that he didn't get the 12 votes he needed to solve the problem at that time. That's why tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock it's very important. But they're circling the wagons, Mark Steiner, and they're trying to block progress and justice. And it is a disgrace, and the mayor, the buck stops with the mayor, and of course the governor, Martin O'Malley, has her back. So she feels like as long as Martin O'Malley will go along to get along, she'll allow Rochelle Spector, Ricky Spector, to lead her around with a ring in her nose, because that's how I interpret it. It's an outrage.
All right. Thank you, Leo. Carl, I want to thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
One last thought.
Glad to be with you, of course, all the time, or any of the time. Thank you, sir.
And we're going to take a brief break here. We're going to go to transition with Footprints, Bob, with Miles Davis, because Tony Williams is on the drums, and he passed away on this day. We'll hear a little bit of that. And we have a caller calling in right now. We should get you, but we do have to move on. Bruce is going to call in and say, wishes Stokes will run for mayor.
I'm not running for anything. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Stay with us as we tackle the super shuttle, Veolia, and the rights of workers.